We would like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Preborn. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, it's a divine connection. And the majority of the time, she will choose life. But they can't do it without our help. Preborn needs us, the pro-life community, to come alongside them. One ultrasound is just $28. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby or visit preborn.com.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome. Pardon me. Welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network for this Thursday, September 14th, 2023. Hope you're having a great day. And again, thank you for listening to American Family Radio. We're going to be here for the next hour and 24 and a half minutes. Is that right? Yeah, I think so. Tim Wildman here with Ed Vitagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
And Fred Jackson. Good morning, Fred.
Hi, Tim.
Hey, Fred, is that Hurricane Lee that's been out there for like the last year and a half wandering around in the Atlantic Ocean? It's a Cat 4, Cat 3, sometimes Cat 5 hurricane, but it's supposed to hit your neck of the woods, right?
Yeah, it's winding down right now. And where it is, it's if you're familiar with a little bit of the geography there, up off of, you know, if you move southeast of Maine, it's out over, obviously,
over the ocean.
Yeah, and it's heading up towards the western tip of Nova Scotia, Yarmouth, Nova Scotia, that area in there. And so what they're warning for folks in Maine is high tides because it's high winds. I think this morning early was a Cat 1.
Okay, because the water is, you know, that it's over is cool.
It is very cold
right
out there. So that's good news.
Yeah.
But what they are predicting for Nova Scotia and on up into New Brunswick, it'll likely become a tropical storm. So they're predicting a lot of rain as we get into tomorrow and Saturday.
I'm just curious, so we talk some about travel here on the program, because Allison, my wife, we like to plan, you know, travel, and we like to travel. I want to ask you, Nova Scotia, if I go to Nova Scotia, is that like a week to see the highlights or to get a taste of it, or 10 days or what?
Well, I'm going to show some partiality.
Go ahead. Well, that's what I want you to do. You're from there, and I want to know. We're talking north of Maine, what, a couple hundred miles?
Actually, Nova Scotia, if you go to Maine, it's east of Maine.
East of Maine.
Kind of just out.
East of Maine. You can actually take a ferry from Maine over to Yarmouth, Nova Scotia, which is that.
Is that your hometown?
No. I'm from the eastern end of Nova Scotia, Cape Breton Island. Now, Cape Breton Island is connected by a causeway, so don't get the idea we're way out there. But Cape Breton, it's beautiful, especially in the summertime. If you're going up there, I suggest July and August, September.
Okay.
Not January.
Okay.
But if you go to Cape Breton, there is what's called the Cabot Trail there. And it is a beautiful highway that kind of clings to the mountains there. And you have the ocean on one side, the mountains on the other. It's absolutely beautiful. When it's one of the most recommended places in the world to visit because it is so beautiful. So Cape Breton has the Margaree Valley. It is a jumping off point to Newfoundland. I grew up in a small town called North Sydney, and that is where the ferries go from North Sydney, Nova Scotia to Newfoundland. So that, as I say, I'm partial to the east.
Okay, well, if I go up there, or if we go up there, what kind of food do I need to not miss?
Oh, lobster.
Lobster, okay.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I would also say, now, I don't know about Nova Scotia, but just New England, I love fried clams.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and you don't get just a little clam strips like you do than the rest of the country. You
get Golden Corral.
You get some meat.
Yes.
But lobster, absolutely. Steamed
lobster,
clams.
Lobster, clam.
Yes, absolutely. And any kind of fresh haddock, halibut, that sort of thing.
You like fish, don't you?
Yeah, I like fish as long as it doesn't taste like fish.
Yeah.
That might be a problem.
No, I'm the same way. I like.
I want that. I don't want that fishy. Yeah.
Just smother it with butter.
Yeah.
And it tastes great.
There you go. Or fry it. Fry it to them into oblivion.
Yeah.
That's one way to go.
But it's beautiful there, for the most part. The big city is Halifax. That's the capital city.
Halifax.
Nova Scotia. American Airlines flies into there from Philadelphia every day.
Fly in there, rent a car, and drive
around.
Rent
a car from Halifax. You can go to the Annapolis Valley, which is in the other direction. It's kind of northwestern from there. It's beautiful down there, too.
What about carjackings in Halifax?
They don't worry too much about that.
Well, the good thing
a lot of nice Canadians, they really don't.
The good thing is if you get carjacked by a Canadian, they always ask, please.
Yeah, please, can we have your car?
Yeah. Hey? Hey, can I have your car, eh?
Well, I want to do that trip. I have looked at pictures online. It looks like a beautiful place. Like you said, visit in the summer.
When do the trees start to turn? Do you have to wait till October for that?
Late September, October, you know, depending on the weather. But it's like New England.
Okay.
That fall, the fall color tours are a big deal up there.
Yeah.
You have cruise ships. If you're into cruises, cruise ships out of Boston and New York.
Really?
Yeah. A lot of them go into Sydney, Nova Scotia, which is
your hometown.
Cape Breton, yeah.
Wow.
So it's a beautiful area. I highly recommend it. It's kind of an extension of Vermont and Maine,
it's kind of New England feel.
That kind of life there.
Yeah.
And if you go to Nova Scotia, you probably want to spend, you know, at least half a day to Prince Edward Island, home of Anna Green Gables. It's worth the little trip.
You're
over
making
there.
Me think about doing this. My wife loved those books.
Oh, yeah.
Anna Green Gables.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Movies. The movies were good. It's been a long time ago since I saw those.
I never watched the movies because there were, like, no aliens in it. There was no, you know, nothing blowing up, but some people like them, you know.
All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Ed, do you want to tell folks how they can
go to Nova Scotia? I'm working on it. I got a plan now.
Do you? Okay.
No, I'm just looking at
how they can engage with this dynamic show they're listening to.
Yes. Yes. If you want to watch the Travel Channel here on American Family Radio every day this week. In fact, I think we've talked about going somewhere. No, if you want to watch the live video stream for this program, you have two options. You can go to Facebook and you can search for Today's Issues, click through, or you can go to our own streaming platform, AFA streaming platform, that is streaming.afa.net, streaming.afa.net. Those are the two ways you can watch the live video stream of this program. By the way, at streaming.afa.net, you can also watch the live video stream for a host of other radio talk show programs here on American Family
Radio. Just one more note on the Nova Scotia discussion there. I was looking at the map, and you don't think about this. I don't know why, but you're right. Nova Scotia sits out from, it's way east of Maine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It looks like 100 miles or so.
Yep.
And it sort of sits out there in the North Atlantic. Is that where the Titanic museum is?
Well,
you know, one of them, whatever. Isn't that where the Titanic survivors came? Halifax? Was that?
Well, the Titanic, actually, it sank off of Newfoundland.
Newfoundland?
Yeah. But there is a museum because there was a huge explosion many, many years ago in Halifax Harbor, and they have a museum of that there also. An explosion museum.
Ed's in on that.
He's going. More and more.
Halifax is a major naval base, one of the key ones, and the other one is on the West Coast. But Halifax, great city. It's a university town. I think there are four universities in Halifax.
Wow.
Yeah, they couldn't contend with just one, so they have four there. It's a great city.
Yeah.
So many smart people in Canada. That's the issue. You got to have four.
Got to make
have
room
four
for
universities.
Yeah. Canadian carjacking. That just sounds funny, doesn't it? Please.
I'll return it to the same spot, but I need it right now.
I want to borrow it. We don't call it stealing. Borrow.
All right, Fred. What's the first story?
Ed used the word aliens a moment ago, and that's a great segue into NASA this morning. After a year of study on UFOs, they have come to the conclusion they found no evidence that UFOs had an extraterrestrial origin. So that's what they found after $100,000, this team looking at things. By the way, they don't call them UFOs anymore.
They call them UAPs.
Unidentified Anomalous Phenomena.
Yeah, I guess because of the stigma attached to UFOs.
Little green men.
Yeah, little green men. Yeah. I think what they're trying to get away from people automatically assuming that just because it's unidentified does not mean it's extraterrestrial. Because now with drones and technological advancements, the possibility is there that these may be unidentified, but it doesn't mean they're otherworldly. So yeah. UAPs going forward, you'll still hear people talking about UFOs, but UAPs is the more official, formal title for these.
But, you know, it was interesting at that hearing back, what, 2-3 months ago that the Republicans had, it was the first hearing on UFOs or UAPs. One of the experts testified of the, at one of these areas where one of these things crashed, the expert was asked whether the remains that were found were human biologics, is the term they use, and he said no. So that continues to add to the mystery of these things. And if you talk to the pilots who have reported seeing these things and the way they behave, etc., it still leaves that mystery. Okay, if it's not man-made, what is it? Where is it coming from? They haven't been able to answer those questions yet. And various people have various ideas about it. Some people say it's demonic.
Is this Area 51 stuff right here?
Well, Area 51, there is a base at what's commonly referred to as Area 51.
In Nevada?
Nevada. And it is it's a military base. And it's where a lot of tests have been done on secretive military craft. I think our stealth fighter was developed there. But those who believe in extraterrestrial life visiting the Earth believe that the U.S. there is hiding crashed UFOs and the recovered bodies of extraterrestrials. I don't believe that, but some people do. And so it's one of those things where true believers are always going to say the government's hiding it. So this announcement from NASA is going to be met with skepticism by the UFO crowd. They're going to say more evidence that the government has evidence and just isn't going to share it.
Mm-hmm. Well, unidentified flying objects, that's what UFO stands for, right?
Mm-hmm.
You said they're trying to rebrand it as what now?
Unidentified anomalous phenomena.
That's too long.
Well, here's the thing. If there are theories about multiverse, are these, some people think there are people traveling back from the future, and so that they may very well be human. So there's all kinds of ideas that go beyond simply aliens visiting from another planet in our solar system or our universe. So that's why part of the reason for the rebranding is it's unidentified, it's anomalous, which means it's not normal. It's not a normal occurrence. So it's not behaving in a way that we are used to. And so they're trying to be they're trying to get away from the UFO stigma, but they're also trying to be maybe a little bit more.
May I offer another theory?
Absolutely.
When these kinds of things happen, these UFOs, obviously you do think of the movies and Martians and extraterrestrial spaceships or people.
Right.
If they're people, creatures. But also you think of, at least I do, I think of, could this be the Chinese?
Right.
That's the Chinese military, they're not exactly all open with what, of course, we aren't either.
Right.
Military, by definition, is plans have to be secretive. But I just wonder, you know, if the Chinese perhaps are developing weaponry or flight.
Well, drones.
Drones that are, you know, we don't know what they are.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking out loud. You've thought of that?
Yeah, I've studied this for decades, okay? You might just look at me as an expert.
Well, I will. I'll look right at you right now.
I'm kidding. I have studied it for decades, okay? And I don't want to get us all into left field. There are a number of different baskets that the evidence can fall into. One of my beliefs is there's no way that biological creatures can traverse the distance between Earth and far-off planets. The nearest planet that scientists believe can sustain life is 24 light years away, and a light year is like 6 trillion miles. So you multiply that by 24. And here's another thing to consider. When you see an object that behaves as some of the videos have behaved that are have been recorded by U.S. military, for example, anything that can move that fast and not produce and not break the sound barrier, or where some of these craft go into the ocean but don't produce any waves, all right, I'm not buying that those are physical craft, because the laws of nature don't allow that. If you accelerate at those speeds and do not produce sound waves from that, it's not a physical craft. And no physical craft can enter the ocean and not produce waves. So there are a number of different things going on. I'm not saying that it's impossible for there to be drones from a distant civilization, if you believe there are other civilizations in the universe. But I don't think biological creatures can make it. I just don't think biological creatures can live that long. And I'll tell you one other thing, and then we can move on or whatever. Every time I get into discussions about and say these kinds of things, they'll say, yeah, but technology, we don't know what their technology is like, and that's their trump card for any objection you may have to a alien traveling hundreds of trillions of miles in its lifetime and reach Earth, and their craft breaks down on the highway constantly, okay? You say it's too far. They can't make it. Their technology. These are the same people that when you say Jesus Christ performed miracles, they'll say, no way do I accept that. That violates the laws of nature. And they'll say that all the time. It violates the laws of nature. You're talking magic. Well, right back at you. So if you're saying God can't change the laws of nature, I don't want to hear about aliens doing it. Anyway.
Yeah, well, that makes sense. The other thing is, with respect to the Bible and miracles, we're talking about God here.
Right.
If you don't believe in God, okay. Then you would say the miracles in the Bible are fictional.
Right.
Right? Or you would say it's fairy tales made up. However, if God does exist, he is supernatural.
Right.
And Jesus Christ, if he is the Son of God, has the capability of overcoming nature.
That he created. Right.
So it's not of course, when Jesus came to Earth 2,000 years ago in human form, he did miracles before the people that he was in front of. There would be a dual purpose, right? So one would be to accomplish the immediate mission, that is, heal somebody from sickness, for example, blindness, or walk on the water. The The other would be, well, there wouldn't be a reason to walk on the water other than to do the second thing I'm talking about, which is to prove to all those who witnessed him that that he's not your normal person. He is able to do miraculous things that overcome natural circumstances. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And let me just say one additional thing, because I do think there's a demonic component here. All right. Because as you look back over the last 500 years, 1,000 years, we have not been alone on this planet. There are spiritual entities mm-hmm. that have existed beside us, mm-hmm. and their behavior over the centuries mimics what we see with UFOs in the modern age. There are all sorts of stories in the Middle Ages of people being captured. This is going to sound ridiculous to people. Captured by little people, by fairies, by leprechauns. That's a big joke to us now. We don't believe in fairies and leprechauns. But people who were examined by little people who took them to fairyland, they have these stories. Everyone says, well, he never told a lie before. The things that these beings told people mimic the things that people who have claimed to have been in close contact with aliens today, they say the same things. It's all non-Christian spiritual gobbledygook. And I think what we see is that our spiritual enemy takes advantage of current beliefs and represents itself in ways that we would believe. And for people who say, yeah, but these look like real objects flying around, you look at the book of Ezekiel when that prophet had a vision of creatures in heaven, the wheel within a wheel. He said the appearance was of burnished bronze. It looked like shiny metal. And I think that what we're seeing is, along with these other possibilities, what we're seeing is that the devil is an opportunist, and the kingdom of darkness is trying to take advantage of the state of human beliefs. In the 1800s, there were reports in newspapers. I have pictures of these newspapers where people saw sailing ships in the sky. All right? They had people they dropped anchors. People claimed to have grabbed these anchors.
We're not talking about clouds.
No, we're talking, no, not clouds. Clouds. These were sailing ships in the air with people on them yelling down to people in small towns and inviting them up. And these are in newspapers. And why was it sailing ships? Because that was the technology. And these were people who said, no, we all saw it. We all saw the sailing ship. Well, who's got the anchor that they dropped? Well, so-and-so had it, just like all these other people who say, no, I have evidence. Well, where is it? It always disappears. I'm saying that these other spiritual beings that have always existed with humanity manifest themselves in ways that the people of that era would be more likely to believe.
So what happens in your era if you see this? Is this like a hockey game going on in the sky?
You would, because we have flying ships.
Oh, I got you.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm talking about sailing ships. We have aircraft.
You think that's of the demonic world? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Again, I'm not saying that it's impossible that there are other civilizations. Some people don't like to even talk about that. I'm not saying it's impossible that there are other civilizations and drones could be visiting the planet. I'm saying that's one explanation. The devil takes advantage of our belief that that's possible by showing other objects that would confirm a belief in that.
Gotcha. Well, you know, I mentioned that these UFOs may be Chinese military.
That's absolutely possible.
Also the Brazilians. They've been, you know what I'm saying? The Brazilians have been known.
Very advanced technology.
Have been known. The Brazilian space program, for example, is very much capable of producing what we call UFOs. We'll be back momentarily with more of today's issues on American Family Radio. Stay with us.
would like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Preborn. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, it's a divine connection. And the majority of the time, she will choose life. But they can't do it without our help. Preborn needs us, the pro-life community, to come alongside them. One ultrasound is just $28. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby or visit preborn.com.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR, Tim, Fred, and Ed with you. And if you want to, by the way, if you're traveling and you run out of American Family Radio signal, you can just switch over to our AFR app on your cell phone, your smartphone. You got a dumb phone,
you're out of luck.
You're out of luck. But if you got a smartphone or even, you know, halfway intelligent phone,
mediocre
phone, you can get us on the app or your iPad or other kind of device. AFR app, just download it and takes you 60 seconds and boom, you can get AFR anywhere you have access to high speed internet. So take advantage of our app. Tens of thousands of people are daily using the app. So we encourage you to do that. Again, Tim, Ed, and Fred here on American Family Radio. Let me mention quickly our 2024 Spiritual Heritage Tours. The dates have been set. We have two tours, two times a year. So in June and September of next year, and we fill up 3 months in advance at least, but we take Spiritual Heritage Tours of Colonial Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown. And then we do a back-to-back tour. We take the bus and go up to D.C. So we see our nation's capital, and we visit George Washington's Mount Vernon as well. So if you want to do the whole week with us, it's Saturday to Saturday, and we take care of you the whole time. So if you want to travel and not have to worry about anything, just get on the bus and let us take care of you. We do that. So those tours are coming up next year. We've got the dates, the itinerary, the prices on the Spiritual Heritage Tours. And all you need to do is go to this website and you check it all out. SpiritualHeritageTours.com. SpiritualHeritageTours.com is the website. Next story, Fred.
I was just going to just mention, though, Tim, just to promote the Spiritual Heritage Tours, that starting in 2024, you will include an excursion on an alien spacecraft. So a little flyover over the main.
Yeah, that's going to cost a little extra. I mean, I'm not going to lie.
Excursions do.
It's not going to be included in the regular.
Right.
You'll check a box where you and agree to pay a certain amount, sort of like an excursion.
Right.
On an alien aircraft.
Right.
But, but in reality, you really don't have to leave the Washington area to see aliens.
That was good, Fred. You don't have to, or to interact with crazy people either. Atop Capitol Hill, right?
Yes, that's right.
For free.
Our fearless.
No charge.
Our fearless.
Yeah, leaders. You heard about the aliens who said, take me to your leader, and then they said no thanks after finding out who was heading up the country.
Yeah. Joe Biden said the other day I remember being taken up in a
that's right, his name was Corn Pop.
Lion pony.
Lying dog face pony soldier.
Y'all better stop. I'm not going to be able to go on here.
All right. Let's suck it up.
That's some funny stuff right there. So the alien captain's name was
Corn Pop.
Biden said it was Corn Pop.
Corn Pop. That's right.
And Fred said, what? What else, Fred, you say?
What is it? What's Joe says? Joe Biden says, lion?
Lying dog-faced pony soldier, right?
Right, right. So you had Corn Pop and his first captain, Lion Pony Face.
Yeah, and Joe Biden said that while he was on that spacecraft, they had to dodge missiles He was trying to visit Nelson Mandela.
He was almost shot down. Over South Africa.
Yep. But his trip was arrested.
Right. But he wanted everybody to know he had his COVID booster before he got on the spaceship.
That's right.
So as not to, spread it among the aliens.
Yes.
On the ship.
That's right.
Masks were mandatory.
Huh?
You had to have a shot.
Man, we could go with this. We could carry this on the road.
Or in the sky.
Somewhere.
All right, Fred, bring us back down to Earth.
Wow.
Yeah.
A federal judge appointed by none other than President Joe Biden has put a stop to that very controversial public health order coming from the New Mexico Democrat Governor Michelle Grisham, where basically she suspended the right to carry guns in public across New Mexico's largest city, that being Albuquerque.
She tried to. But the federal judge has shut her down.
But Democrats, even her own attorney general, the sheriff in that county, said there ain't no way I'm going to enforce this. Everybody said you cannot do it. We have this called a Second Amendment, Madam Governor.
Right.
And you just can't arbitrarily say, I'm wiping that out for a while for 30 days.
Right.
You can't do it. Anyway, she put a stop to it. And
so it was a Biden-appointed federal judge?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay.
U.S. District Judge David Urias, I believe it is his name is.
Then there is a 10% hope for our country.
There is, for sure. Judge Jeanine Pirro, you may have heard of her. She's often on Fox News. She had some comments on all of this morning. Cut number 6.
She doesn't have the power to suspend the Constitution. I don't know what's worse, her ignorance or her arrogance. Her arrogance in thinking that as a local governor, she's going to suspend the Second Amendment to the Constitution, or ignorance of the Second Amendment and the fact that the United States Supreme Court has repeatedly affirmed the right of people to carry arms through McDonald, Heller, and just recently in New York in the Bruin case, where they said, you don't have the right to just have it in your home. You could take it with you. So, when she was asked, this governor was asked, do you think this will stop people with illegal guns? She said no. If she really wanted to fight crime, she could start getting rid of the cashless bail. She might consider, upping or amping up police departments, making sure that they start closing cases, issuing arrest warrants, do sting operations on gun, sales. I mean, there's a million things she could do. We're going to suspend the Constitution on a public health emergency. You can't, you won't, and that's the end of it.
Amen.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
All right, so that story's basically over now. It's still a story, but the governor of New Mexico trying to suspend the Second Amendment has been shot down even by a liberal judge.
Very much so.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
All right. Go ahead.
All right. The UAW, United Auto Workers Union, announcing late last night they are ready to strike just before midnight tonight. They are in contract negotiations. And what's making news is what these auto workers are demanding in their contract. They started out asking for 46% wage increase. That's a whole pile of money, because I think the baseline right now is like $32 an hour. They want a 46% increase. They backed off that a little bit, said 36%. They also want a lot of other things, including a 32-hour work week, but they want to get paid for 40 hours a day.
Now, let me ask you this. The United Auto Workers, of course, that's a well-known American union.
Huge, and very powerful.
Very powerful. Was at one time even more powerful than they are today. Let me ask you this. These automobile manufacturing facilities that have been built the last 20, 25 years in right-to-work states.
Mm-hmm.
I know we have a big Toyota and a big Nissan factory here in Mississippi, factories. Alabama has Mercedes-Benz, and South Carolina and Tennessee has, I think, Toyota or Nissan maybe. Anyway, the Kentucky has some and other states too.
Yeah, Georgia.
But these states are right-to-work states, which means you don't have to, you can't compel the employees to be part of a union, right?
That is
does
correct.
That, right. Does that affect them? Does this United Auto Workers
no,
strike affect those?
No.
They, Right. That's the whole reason they're right to work state.
No, there have been attempts. UAW has come to places like Mississippi because we have a big Nissan plant in Jackson area and Toyota in this area, and it's been rejected. I think there have been at least two or three occasions in the last several years where they've attempted.
They've tried to they've tried to unionize and it's failed.
That's
because the workers have voted against it.
That's right.
Yeah. Right.
That's but you're saying the United Auto Workers. So I'm thinking now. I'm thinking Michigan, basically.
Big time.
Right.
Big
Detroit.
Time. Yes.
The home of the American cars.
Yes. Ford, GM.
So they're going on strike tonight, those workers?
They say unless they get an acceptable deal at 11:59 p.m. is their deadline. And they are, and they would start rotating strikes. Of course, the other thing, and I think they feel threatened somewhat because the Biden administration, Joe Biden says he's a big union guy, really believes in unions, but Joe Biden wants a whole bunch of plants built for electric vehicles. And I'm not sure the UAW contract would fold over into that. You can only imagine, just imagine for a second, if they got a 40% wage increase.
They want 46%.
46%. It's down to 36 now.
Okay.
36%. But what that would do to a cost of a vehicle, a gas vehicle. Somebody was Someone was telling me like a Ford F-150, I suppose it depends on versions of that, are like $70,000, $80,000. Brent, you're more
new.
70 or 80,000 new
already for the electric vehicle.
No. I think the gas operated.
A
gas Ford F-150 is $70,000.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I'm looking at a. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead and finish that thought.
But electric vehicles, I think the bottom line price now may be a Tesla. I guess 64,000. The problem is, and this goes to the latest economic news, we got Americans, the average now on their credit card is $10,000. Americans are suffering with grocery prices, gas prices. It went up 10 cents overnight in our market.
The gas prices are about to go back up.
Big time.
Big time.
So how can people afford this?
Listen, I feel bad for young people. Mm. And I'm talking about in their 20s, especially on into their 30s. Many of them saddled with huge amounts of college debt. They are never going to be able to afford to buy a house.
Yeah, I know.
And it's increasingly unlikely they'll ever be able to afford a brand new vehicle.
Oh, yeah.
Because of the prices of these vehicles. I was talking to someone this week, and I think I've got this right, that of the brand new vehicles coming out this year, only one is under $30,000. Yeah, everything is above that. I'm also looking at another article here that says that Ford Motor Company has announced that it is projected to lose $4.5 billion with its electric vehicles this year.
Yeah.
They have increased revenue, but they're going to lose that many billions with because American.
Why?
Well, because Americans, this article says it's on Fox Business, is saying that people don't want to pay the high prices, and they are also very nervous about not being able to find charging stations, because that is obvious, for obvious reasons, the lifeblood of an electric vehicle. So if they take trips or they do a lot of traveling for work, they are worried, or they're not sure about getting their house, you know, their garage fixed up to be able to handle the charging anxieties about brownouts. They're not buying the electric vehicles in the amounts that make it profitable for Ford Motor Company.
However, Elon Musk, who the Tesla company, Tesla, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what they make, their electric cars, and he's the richest man in the world. Now, he has other enterprises.
Right.
That's basically how Tesla's evidently done pretty well over the last 5 years or so.
I don't know.
I'm not saying what the concerns you've just listed aren't legit, especially for young Americans in their 20s and 30s, but trying to get off the ground, you know, with their family life or whatever, their housing. I know that I see charging stations for Tesla. They say Tesla on there, the the charging stations. So I don't know if they're if those charging stations are applicable to a Ford electric vehicle, or yeah. Maybe it's just exclusive to Tesla. I don't know, but you know what I'm saying. Y'all seen those, right?
Mm-hmm.
Seen those out?
Oh yeah.
So anyway,
you want to know something funny? I have we have two Volkswagens, and I was taking one of our Volkswagens in for service, and I had to pick up my wife. I parked in an area next to these two contraptions that I thought they were vacuums. I thought they were vacuums for vacuuming out your car, toss a few quarters in it. But then I looked at it and I thought, no, wait a second, that's a charging station. That just shows how I am not.
Did it say Tesla on there?
I don't remember. This is several months ago. I thought, boy, I felt like an idiot. But I just drive vehicles that don't need them, don't need to be charged like that. But they had a couple of charging stations.
Yeah.
And you do see them. If you're looking for them, you do see them around. So,
you know, it's amazing. Of course, Biden with the green agenda pushing these EVs, electric vehicles. They were dealing with this morning, one of the programs I was watching. And, of course, now they want trucks that are electric. And they were talking about the batteries that would have to go into these trucks, tens of thousands of dollars. But also, like trucks that would deliver groceries, et cetera, to us across the country, they take 6 hours to recharge. 6 hours. I mean, that's one of the things that, can you imagine, how is the nation to respond to this?
Yeah. You're going to have to improve on that technology before this has any chance of taking off with the masses. Mm-hmm. Talking about buying electric vehicles. But the point of this discussion originated with you saying that Ford had made, they're going to stop manufacturing so many electric cars because people aren't buying them. Is that what they said?
Well, it just said that they were projected to lose $4.5 billion from electric vehicles, despite increased revenue in that particular department. I guess they're losing money.
I don't understand. You just said increased revenue, losing money. You said that in the same sentence.
Well, no, their revenue can increase because they sell more than electric vehicles.
Oh, I got you. You mean the Ford Motor Company?
Ford Motor Company overall has had increased revenue,
I got
sales, but not.
But
they're losing money with electric vehicles.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Next story, Fred.
Well, we've been covering the story of what's been happening with illegal immigrants just streaming into so-called sanctuary cities like New York and now Chicago, and how Democrats are beginning to complain about all of this. Chris Christie, who is a former governor in New Jersey and now, of course, running, he'd like to be president of the United States, Republican. He was on talking about this morning. He says, you know what? He doesn't really feel sorry for these cities that call themselves sanctuary cities like New York that are now complaining about this. Cut number four.
Well, President Biden created the problem during the campaign in 2020 when he sent the signal to everybody across the border, if I win, the border's open and you can come across. Now, here's the one place where I will blame Mayor Adams and other people in his party, the local officials. They all said they were sanctuary cities and sanctuary states.
True.
Right? And so they said it, Brian, when there was no cost to it. Now, all of a sudden, they get a president who is letting everybody in over the border, and now they're saying this is unfair. So both sides of the Democratic Party, the local and state officials, and President Biden are to blame here.
Bottom line.
That's good. Good analysis.
It is. It's excellent analysis. Bottom line, Democrats create the problem.
Right.
And now they don't like the idea that they're having to pay for that problem.
Right.
I don't know what's going to happen in New York or Chicago.
A lot of the Democrats / progressives, they like to stand on the hill with their hands raised and proclaim morality to the rest of the country, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm for morality, but I think we...
Biblical morality.
But I'm for... That's right. But what they want to do is say, we're superior than those rednecks down in Texas and Arizona and other places who don't like immigrants. Okay? So we welcome... We're a welcoming place. We welcome all. right, we're a sanctuary state. We're a sanctuary city. Well, that is so easy to do when it doesn't affect you at all, right? Now, 10,000, quote, migrants, they're migrants, but they're illegal aliens. That's what we used to call people who came here illegally, are coming into New York City because New York has said, we welcome everybody. We'll take care of you. And so is it any wonder why so many of these people get on the buses in Texas and Arizona and other places and go to New York City?
Right.
Or Chicago, because they've said, come on and we'll put you up in a hotel. We'll feed you. We'll give you free medicine.
It's the law that we take care of you.
Yes, it's the law. So now, as Ed says, oftentimes reality is a harsh teacher. Now these cities, especially New York, are saying, wait a minute. We didn't mean it. We didn't mean it to affect us like this. What do you mean? Like it's been affecting Texas for 10, 20 years? Yeah, like that. We don't want that in New York. We want to. Now, Adams, Mayor Adams, this is another funny part of this story. He doesn't want to directly blame Biden, right? Because Biden's a Democrat. Even though Biden's a president, he's the one that opened the floodgates to let everybody. And they're coming from around the world, folks. This isn't right. This isn't stopping. Just a side story here. I saw a story yesterday about all these Africans that have come, and they're young males is what they are. They've come, young Africans, they got the money and got the means to come to Mexico. Then they're crossing the border into Mexico, and then they're going to New York and other places, too. That's just a side story I saw yesterday. But Biden has just destroyed our border. Right. We don't have a border anymore. So the mayor of New York, the Democrat, he wants to blame the governor of Texas. He calls him a madman.
Right.
So it's according to the morally superior mayor of New York, who wants to say, you know, we welcome everybody until they all come. Right. And then he says, whoa, we didn't mean this many people. Well, that's what Texas has to deal with almost every day.
Right.
Every day. Or at least every week, every month. I'm talking about this massive influx. And Biden tries to block the governor of Texas at every turn.
Right.
He wanted to put some floats out in the river there, the Rio Grande, right? Mm-hmm. I call them floats. They're physical barriers. They're right. Deterrents to keep people from coming. You put physical deterrents up. And Biden says, Biden goes to court to say, no, can't have that either. So anyway, I just think it's hilarious that the mayor of Boston, the mayor of New York, the mayor of Chicago, they're all screaming bloody murder.
Mm-hmm.
But they're screaming bloody murder about a situation that they invited.
That's right. Which is what Christie was saying.
Exactly what Christie was saying. But I like my 3-minute version better.
Huh? And we said it before Chris Christie. Let's be clear. We've been saying it for years, for the last 2 or 3 years.
Absolutely.
But what he did say was correct.
Absolutely.
Not bad.
Absolutely. I don't know what New York's going to do. In particular, I don't know what New York's going to do, because the mayor did say the other day, this is going to destroy our city. He used that word, destroy our city, because they can't afford.
And he's also said we have a crisis on our southern border.
Right.
The Democrat mayor.
Yeah.
He says Biden's got to do something about this.
Did he say Biden? Oh. Or he keeps saying the federal government has
federal
a role.
Well, yeah.
But, I mean, they don't want to call out Biden's name.
Mm-mm.
But, anyway, it's only going to get worse. And it's for these cities. And I do wonder what New York's going to do, because they have this law, as Ed cited earlier. They're not just a sanctuary city. By sanctuary city, what these cities declare, and I don't know if California is a sanctuary state. I would guess it is. That is, we won't cooperate with deportation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if ICE is searching for somebody to deport, we, the city of New York, will not assist them. We not help with them. That's what they mean by sanctuary. You can come here and be free from American immigration laws. Huh? That's what sanctuary means. Mm-hmm. However, there's another aspect here. I'm about to make a brilliant point, and there goes the music. Or here comes
you can
the,
do it.
Here I comes the music. They also have these city policies where they say we have to house everybody who comes here and needs shelter,
mm-hmm.
which is in theory a noble thing to take care of people who are desperate. I agree with that, but it's theory.
Yes,
it doesn't work when you're overwhelmed with the numbers that they're seeing in some of these cities. All right, we shall return with more brilliance in 5 minutes after the news. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.
We'd like to thank our sponsors, including Preborn. Preborn has rescued over 200,000 babies from abortion, and every day their network clinics rescue 200 babies' lives. Will you join Preborn in loving and supporting young moms in crisis? Save a life today. Go to preborn.com.